I'd like you to find Psalm 119 tonight, please. During the last couple of weeks, I have determined to read Scripture about Scripture. And Psalm 119 is probably the best known passage of Scripture that talks about itself, talks about the Word of God. Let me just read these first few verses of Psalm 119, starting in verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Let's stop there. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank You so much for giving us Your word. Thank You for the treasure that it is. Thank You for the wonderful availability and access that we have. I thank You now for the opportunity to look into Your word, and I pray that what we look at tonight would guide our lives. Help us, I pray, not to simply declare that Your word is something great and wonderful, but help us, I pray, to be impacted by it. Help our lives to be transformed by it. And Father, I have on my mind certain things to say, but I pray that Your thoughts and what You wish to express and convey to not just this audience, but to people, to hearts represented here tonight, that You would make that message plain and clear and very powerful. And Father, I pray for Your help and Your guidance and direction. We ask it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One thing I notice in Psalm 119 is this man's attitude toward the Scriptures. Doesn't he have a passion for the Word? Can you see his dedication to the Word of God? Can you read from what he says and understand from the way that he describes his desire for and delight in the Word of God that it is something that he loves very, very much? And I want to have that kind of heart. I think that each of us here that knows the Lord wishes that we would have that kind of desire for and delight in the Word of God. It has been my prayer and my desire that through the last several months, as I have shared with you messages regarding the Word of God, that this would produce in us this kind of desire and this kind of delight. That our hunger for the Word, our love for the Word, our involvement with the Word, the way that we benefit from the Word would just grow deeper and stronger and multiply more and more in our lives and in our families and in our relationships and conversations, and then just go out from there to the people around us in our communities and where we live and the people with whom we work and go to school and interact. That there would be a spreading of the influence of the Word. That is certainly what God wants to have take place. Along with what I have shared with you by way of information, we have also discussed the issue of current English Bible translations. And in the process of discussing what the Bible says about the Bible, we have also talked about what we've seen through history and what we see in our current day and what is available to us. I've shared with you some principles that will help you, I hope, in practicing discernment in this area of your life. With so much available, it is very important that we have discernment so that we can make wise and good and proper choices. I've also shared with you that this is something for us to consider as a church regarding what our practice is and our position is regarding the current English Bible translations. And we're in a process of doing that. I've been engaging in a conversation. This morning we had a questionnaire. By the way, if you were not here this morning and if you would like to provide some information for us with this questionnaire, it is available at the Information Center. You can pick one up and we'd ask that you just complete it right there and leave it there so that we can have that and consider that. But we've had a good exchange of information. We have a question and answer session right after this service tonight. Now, if you're visiting Calvary or you're new to Calvary or you've not been part of this process, this is something we are engaging in as a church family. And I think that what I share tonight will be beneficial for all of us because the principles I'm about to present to you are principles that can guide us in many areas of life. But I am burdened that regardless of the conclusions that we have individually, or regardless of any direction that we take as a church, it is very important that we think and act biblically. Would you agree? It's essential that we think and act biblically, that we think and act in a way that is obedient to the Scriptures in our attitudes, in our positions, in our communication among ourselves, in our communication to other people, in our communication about one another. And as I say, these principles apply to every single one of us in various areas of life and issues that we face. And so what I want to talk about tonight are some biblical precepts and principles that should guide us. Biblical precepts and principles that should guide us in our position and practice as Christians, as well as our position and practice as a church, principles that guide us in our relationships, principles that guide us in our fellowship. And I will share three of these with you, Lord willing, tonight, and then I think three next Sunday night as well. So these are principles from God's Word and precepts, direction from God's Word, not just suggestions, but precepts for us to heed and to follow. And the first one is simply this. It's the principle of faith in and love for God's Word. Faith in and love for God's Word. Now, this seems like a given. This is assumed, right? We believe in God's Word and we love God's Word. But again, I look back to what I've been sharing with you, and I hope, and my prayer is that it has increased and enhanced your confidence in the Word of God and your love for it. I want to point out what this man's confidence and love was like. And let us see this as a model for us. You've seen that already in the verses that I just read. Just look with me at several places in Psalm 119 where we see this man's confidence in God's Word and his delight, his love for God's Word. Look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight. And my counselors, he says, I love what God's Word says, and I am listening to what God's Word says. I am going to live by what God's Word says. They're my delight and my counselors. Look at verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Have you chosen the way of truth? Have you said, I will live my life by the truth contained in God's Word, and I will lay God's judgments before me. I will put them out where I can see them. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. He says, I'm hanging on. I'm not letting go to God's testimonies, to God's Word, what He says about Himself and His will. Look at verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Sometimes we would say, I'm going to do this with all my heart. That's what he's saying here. Remember this morning, we talked about abhorring that which is evil and clinging to that which is good. Notice how this man describes what he did in following that scriptural principle. Look at verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. What's he saying here? He's saying, God, help me not to fix my eyes, not to stare at emptiness, at what is worthless, but help me to fix my eyes on that which is right and true and solid and good. And when you do that, bring life to me. Revive me in your ways. Verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. Verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Look at verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. What motivates you more? Succeeding and prospering and seeing the zeros at the end of the figures as they add up on the bottom line? What gives you more security, knowing that you have money in the bank, or that your investments are doing well, or having God's word in your life? He says, what God says to me is better than all of that. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. If we really love God's word, we'll be thinking about it a lot, won't we? It won't just be fulfilling our obligation to read a few verses or a chapter and check it off once a day. We will want to have God's word coursing through our minds as much as we possibly can. And David says, I'm going to think about it all the time. It'll be on my mind. I'll make a conscious choice to make sure that it is. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Most of us like dessert. Some people eat so that they can eat dessert. Listen to how he describes his appetite for the word. He can't wait to get to the word because it's so sweet to him. His life is all about getting to the word. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Do you see it? It's God's word that helps us to know what's right and wrong, to know what's good and evil, so that we can say, I love what God loves. I hate what God hates. Verse 147. Excuse me, I'm getting ahead. 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. There it is. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. There again, abhorring that which is evil, clinging to that which is good. Now verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. Verse 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. He's saying I was up before it was light, so that I could come to the place where I could get God's word into my mind and my heart, because it is my only source of hope. Does it mean that much to you? Can you easily sleep through times when you know you need to be, not just should be, but you desperately need to be in the word? Then, verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, or make me alive. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. That's just a sampling. But can you see from the way this man speaks and what he verbalizes, his attitude toward the Word of God, and how his heart just reaches out and embraces the truth of the Word, and he cannot live without it, he can't go through a day without it? What he thinks about and the choices that he makes are all governed and guided by the Word of God. And I will say this tonight, that my own study that has produced the messages on God's eternally enduring word has strengthened my faith in and deepened my love for the Word of God. If it hasn't done that for anybody else here, it's certainly done that for me. And I'm very thankful for that. I go to the Word now, not just to study for messages, but I sit down and I go to the Word in my own mind and life because I love it. And I love what it does for me. And I can't live without it. Can't live without it. It also helps us to see that God's Word guides us in identifying and rejecting anything which is evil. It also guides us in identifying and embracing everything that is good. And it helps us to know what those differences and distinctions are so we can go after them with a passion. And the less you are in the Word, the less likely you will be to make right choices. And the more you are in the Word and the Word is in you, the more likely you will be to know and discern what's right and wrong and be able to make those good and wise and right choices. Now notice what it is that He loves. And here's where I want to touch on some things. I want to do this very carefully and respectfully. Some of us have preferences about how the words of Scripture are presented in the English language. Some like them to be presented majestically. Some like them to be presented with clarity. Some like them to be presented in a way that is readable. All of these are good qualities, and we've talked about this. I think we must be careful that we do not simply love what we read or love how it sounds. It's very important for us to love the Word of God. To love what God is saying to us. As someone said to me recently in a conversation, we should love what it says more than how it is said. Now, is it wrong to love how it says? Is it wrong for someone to say, you know, I love the whatever. Or I love this about this translation. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's wrong to enjoy and delight in and esteem and value that. But what is it that we should truly love with all of our hearts? The message, the truth, what it reveals about God and His will for our lives. May that be what our mind engages in and our heart embraces. And our confidence, our faith, and our love is in and to and toward God's Word. Now I'd like us to go to Romans chapter 12. And that's where we spend some time this morning. And I said I would build on what I said this morning and make some applications, and that's what I'll do here. No more spider stories. That creeped a few of you out, didn't it? Sorry about that. I didn't know there was such strong feelings about that. I wouldn't have raised that one. Now faith will always be known, right, Ron? Where'd Ron go? Yeah, the great huntress. Okay. Spider woman, there you go. All right. Marked forever. I appreciate so much the spirit of the discussion and conversation that we have had in these last few weeks especially. Thank you. Thank you for conversing with me as I have asked you to, as a family, as the family of God, and as a church family. And some of what I'm saying tonight is just, it's really affirmation. It's really saying thank you, and it's saying this is what Calvary is like, and this is what the people of Calvary do. Let's make sure that this is what we keep doing. I think that's the case with this precept and principle that should guide us as well. And I'm going to call this commitment to your family. Commitment to your family. We talked about true love this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy, pretension. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." We talked about how true love is shown by individual choices that are determined by a high degree of hatred for evil and a strong attachment to what is good. And then how true love also shows up not only in individual choices, but also in our relationships. And verse 10 describes the deep affection that we have for other Christians and the strong loyalty that we have to other Christians as well. We have a commitment to other Christians. We strive to not allow anything to come between us. And so as we engage in any discussion about sensitive issues or in any area of life where we have disagreements, it's important, I believe, for Christians to recognize the significance of the commitment we have to each other as believers. And I shared the example of family members working through a problem and discussing maybe a conflict or an offense or a disagreement. And we we should assume that we're going to work it out. Walking out is not an option. Not speaking again is not an option. We just assume we're going to work through this. And that's the way I believe it should be in a church family as well. We are committed to one another as a church family. And I want to address a couple of things here. It saddens me when there is public conflict among Christians. When there is conflict among Christians that is carried out in the eyes of the world. And of course, Paul warns against this when he says, don't go to court, don't bring lawsuits against other believers. He says that should not be settled out in the world. That should be settled within the opportunities that are available to you within the church family. It happens when Christians become angry with one another and talk about what's happening and share family problems with outsiders at work or school or someplace else. And I will say tonight that this issue regarding English Bible translations is sadly dividing Christians and ministries in the United States of America. I just want to talk about this for a minute. Pastors have broken fellowship with other pastors over it and made a public issue of it. Printed it in magazines, put it on videos, sent it out to people unsolicited who had no idea there was even a disagreement or a conflict between these two pastors or ministries over this issue. And the issues that they are dividing over are not the issues that God's Word teaches are essential. They are peripheral issues regarding translations and all of that. And making it a public issue, I think it must grieve the Lord. We are family members. Yes, there are issues over which the Bible calls upon us to separate, and that's something I will deal with, Lord willing, next Sunday evening. There are issues over which the Bible does call upon us to separate from people. But it must grieve the Lord when Christians are not speaking to Christians and pastors are pointing fingers and calling names and even human family members are dividing over this issue. What do family members do? Talk about it? Work it out? Reconcile? Agree? Or agree to disagree? And that's the way it ought to be, I believe with all my heart. I believe this about our church. I believe we are committed to one another. I believe we can talk through a difficult issue and remain in fellowship with each other. I believe that. That's what's happening, and I praise God for that. It takes humility. It takes commitment. It takes a willingness to talk through and have awkward moments and uncomfortable conversations and maybe say, you know what, let's pick this up later. And to respect each other and the different positions that we do have. But at the end of the day, we say what? That's my brother. That's my sister. That's my family member. And we're committed to each other. Doesn't mean we'll always agree or land on the same conclusion or arrive at the same position or practice by any means. But we can respect one another, can't we? And love one another. Remember this morning I quoted Tertullian who said that unbelievers look at believers and say, look how they love one another. Because they themselves, the unbelievers, hate one another. And look how they die for one another, for they themselves are ready to kill each other. Which is it for us? I certainly hope and trust it is not that we are hating one another or ready to kill each other. I hope the truth is that we love each other and we would be willing to die for one another. And people have said that people are watching Calvary Baptist Church, not just on this issue, but watching Calvary Baptist Church in a lot of ways. And that always kind of surprises me because we are who we are. We're just Calvary and here we are in Simpsonville. We are who we are. But I suppose it's true that there are watching eyes. And I pray that Calvary Baptist Church will give them something to watch and something to talk about and say, wow, they have talked through and walked through one of the most difficult and divisive issues in Christianity and fundamentalism today. Look how they love each other. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? That's the way it ought to be. Now, there's a third principle, and this one starts in chapter 12, verse 10, where he says, in honor, preferring one another. And this principle is consideration of others. Consideration of others. This is so important. We said this morning this means to be first, to put others first. And honor preferring one another means I go first. I lead the way. But what I lead the way in doing is putting you first. Is showing deference and value and respect to the other person. And look again at verse 3 with me. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Don't let pride and selfishness make you irrational, is the sense of that verse. And this is a big part of the Christian life, is having the freedom to do certain things, or having a compulsion to do certain things, but also recognizing that what I do affects other people and being considerate of them. And if there's one thing that's on my mind right now and a balance that I am seeking to strike as I prayerfully consider this issue, it's this right here. Being considerate of one another and how important that is in a church family like ours. And this is not the same topic, but look over in chapter 14. He is talking about issues and practices where Christians arrive at different conclusions and do things differently from one another. And the Bible does not expressly forbid doing it or command them to do it or not do it. And he says in chapter 14, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. So one has no conscience, no conviction about eating, in this case, meat offered to idols. And another has a very strict conscience about this. In fact, is a vegetarian in order to be extremely careful not to cross the line of eating meat offered to idols. Verse 3, very important. Let not him that has the freedom, feels the liberty to eat, despise, look down on him that eateth not. What's wrong with you? Don't you know you can do that? It's not a big deal. What's the problem? And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. Hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Hey, that's wrong. You're worldly. You're exercising liberty that you don't have. For God hath received him. He says, if you have freedom of conscience in this area, don't look down on those who do not. If you have a restricted conscience and practice in this area, don't pass judgment, don't be critical of or condemn those who exercise their freedom. You see, Christians within a church can arrive at different conclusions about issues that are not specified as right or wrong in Scripture. And I hope that one outcome and one benefit of this study, and especially what I've shared in the last few weeks, helps us to understand that. That in a church like Calvary, regarding the Bible translation issue, regarding accurate, good, literal translations of the Bible in English, not paraphrases and all that, that we can arrive at different conclusions and enjoy fellowship. And have different practices. And I think that's already the case, but it's good to kind of get that out in the open and to confirm that and share that. Look at chapter 15. We looked at this momentarily this morning. Verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Look at the switch here. And again, here's where I'm praying for wisdom, folks. I'm just being open with you tonight. You know, I could say, this is what I think we ought to do. You can say to me and to others, you know what, this is what we ought to do, or this is what we got to do, or we can't do that. All right, look at it. Let's be thinking about how we can please others for their edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And by the way, if there's a spiritual truth here tonight in all of this I'm talking about, there's a great one. Look at what the Scriptures give us. Comfort. They are medicine for our souls, our sick souls and our hurting hearts. The Scriptures are comfort, and they give us hope. And all this comes from God's Word to us. So in all of these issues, remember the wonderful treasure that we have. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That mean we always agree? No. But it means that we're committed to each other and we work at thinking together and functioning in unity, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, accept, welcome, embrace, fellowship one another with one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. What I've come to realize in the discussions I've had with you, and I have not yet looked at the questionnaires from this morning, just so you know, but what I've come to realize is that there are many different practices and some different positions and a few strong opinions regarding the Bible translation that people use personally and what our practice as a church should be. We just have differences. And that's not bad and that's not wrong. The issue is, will we be considerate of one another in the things that we say, in how we use what we use, in how open we are, in how we talk about each other, how we talk to each other about this issue. And even in the decision that will be made, how can we be the most considerate of one another? Old for young for old, mature Christians for young Christians for mature Christians, all around the family. How can we be the most considerate of one another? I think is a key question. Do I want what I want for myself, or do I want what will build up the body of Christ? And of course, what we want is unity, but that does not mean uniformity. What we want is to move forward together. What that means is, does not mean that we will all necessarily agree or be happy with everything. But it does mean that we will consider one another and think and pray and discern what's best for our church family. So, faith in and love for God's Word. Commitment to your family and consideration for one another. These are biblical precepts and principles that guide us in many issues of life, particularly this one that we are talking about. You know, relationships are often tested, aren't they? Relationships are tested. Sometimes they are tested by circumstances that are beyond our control, things that just happen. And we couldn't stop it if we wanted to. We couldn't have made it happen if we wanted to. It just happens, and our relationship is tested. This happens in marriages, it happens in families, happens between friends. And when that relationship is experiencing some tension, and when it's possible for that relationship to begin to be strained, then those parties make a choice, they make a decision, don't they? They say, wait a minute. We're not going to let this push us apart. In fact, we're going to channel the energy of this situation into driving us together. And I hope that everything that we've talked about will drive you not away from the Word, but toward the Word. I hope it will increase your faith and your love for God's Word. Hope that it will not cause any distance between you and some other person or group of people, but that it will actually drive you together, that you'll move toward each other and talk and maintain that commitment to your family. And I hope that it will drive you not to dig in your heels and say, this is what I think and this is what I want, but I hope it will drive you to think out of yourself and think, what is the most considerate of other people? And this test can actually not just reveal what is true, but can bring strength, bring growth, bring improvement to our relationships and to our church family for the glory of God. That's my heart. That's my prayer. I hope it's yours as well. Would you bow with me, please? Lord Jesus, thank you for time together today. Thank you for the fellowship we've had as a church family. Thank you for what we've learned in our classes. Thank you for the conversations we've had. Thank you for the opportunities to pray together. Thank you so much, Lord, for the friendships and the spiritual influence that we have with one another. And how we thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your work in us today. And I pray that at the end of this day that we can look back and that you would look on this day and be pleased and honored. And Father, help us to grow. Give us wisdom, we pray. And we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.